From theunce.com, this is The Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to The Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest on this week's program is Rob Rail, a.k.a. Outer Sect. Rail has been a Bay Area fixture for many years, since a trip to Burning Man hipped him to the psychedelic raves of the mid-90s. He's played keys and synths with several electronic acts, most notably a recent impromptu jam with trance legend Simon Pausford. He's also hosted several acts from Bass Nectar to Aleph Zero to Ott at his legendary San Francisco garage studio. Outer Sect has got a new album out now. It's called God Love the Fool. Let's get to the interview. Why don't you tell me a bit about your musical background? I understand you're a classically trained pianist.
I am a classically trained pianist. That is true. I started, I never got to the level of being a concert pianist or even made a serious go at that. But, you know, I've played some hard stuff. I've played some Rachmaninoff. I've played some Liszt. You know, I've tackled the toughies. I have some chops. I started classical piano when I was about 10 years old. I was living in Athens, Greece at the time, and I had a really good teacher. What unfortunately happens to a lot of classically trained pianists is they become essentially stenographers or playback devices with a little bit of interpretation. In other words, they can read music off a page, but they really can't, you know, just improvise, make up. They don't understand the theory behind it. And I had a really good teacher who was also, you know, conducting the school orchestra and had taught me some band instruments as well. He taught me theory, and when I said, you know, how do these people make the pop music, he was just very like, you know, whatever interests you. And he you know, bought some books on how to, you know, what chords are, how chords work, and how to, you know, set up a basic improvisation structure. And he got me actually improvising a little bit as I went back to the States. And I actually continued classical training off and on through college. So I, you know, I took 6 years right at the beginning and then went and you know, had refreshers every so often. I also studied, you know, organ. You know, how to play Bach fugues on the organ and things like that. But I always found myself just using the basic, you know, pop chord theory, improvisation, songwriting more than anything else. And so I'm really grateful that my first teacher was, you know, the one who introduced me to that. And he didn't say, no, you just have to read what's on the page and play it as best you can. That's how it's done. That opened the door for a lot of creativity.
The organ, the piano, the keys that you're hearing and that you're trying to emulate, this is rock organ, this is rock piano. How then did you move into the electronic music realm?
It was about 1997. Well, I'd always been very interested in synthesizers from the first time I heard Rick Wakeman ripping on a Mini Moog. I was like, oh, that's a fantastic sound. How did he get that? It wasn't very exciting synth programming, to be frank. It was just, oh, here's a new toy, let's riff on it. But it was a really new sound at the time. So I'd been interested in synthesizers from the first time I heard them. When I went to Burning Man for the first time in 1996, there was this band called Beyond Race that was doing this. They were live band. It wasn't really electronic. They were doing these crazy things with this ripped up circuit bent Roland synthesizer, like a Juno 106 or some not very exciting synthesizer, but they'd torn it to shreds and done all kinds of things to it. And it was the most fantastic synthesizer sound I'd ever heard up to that point. And it just surprised me because I thought I'd already heard everything you could do with these things. After I came back from Burning Man 1996, I was like, okay, there's a whole world of synthesizer music that I don't know about, and I've got to find it. And it's here in San Francisco somewhere. So I started looking for raves and electronic music, and they weren't that hard to find. So I went to my first rave and found a bunch of people doing crazy stuff with electronics that I thought was really cool.
I guess we should back up a bit. Were you playing in more traditional bands at this point?
Oh yeah, I was playing in a lot of rock bands, and I'd been playing live with a bunch of bands, and I had kind of I felt like I'd kind of hit a wall with it. I'd gotten tired of it. Too many personalities, too much politics. As soon as, you know, I'd played with some people who were actually fairly successful. And I found that as soon as anything started to smell like it was going to go anywhere, it turned into a knife fight. And, you know, this is not the kind of band that I want. Those are not the kind of band experiences I want to have. For me, the idea of being in a band was like, you know, was like the idea of the Beatles in 1962, which is, you know, a bunch of buddies out having a great time and playing music. And not, you know, and of course, that probably kind of turned into a knife fight, too, at the end. But that was the idea. That was what I thought I wanted. And I sort of decided that, first of all, if what you want is community, it's a bad idea to try to make money off of it. Instead, you figure out how you can put money into it. So the other thing that was appealing to me was that a lot of these projects were, you know, I saw DJs as performers for the first time. So it was a kind of thing where, okay, I can go do this and not have to involve a lot of people in the music I'm making, just express myself my own way. And I can, in terms of the community, you find a tribe of people who want to throw the kind of parties you want to go to, and you make parties with them, and you go into, you know, underground warehouses and deal with, you know, throwing a party that nobody finds out about and maybe making a little money on it so you can throw the next one. And I found a sense of community in the groups of people that I was throwing parties with, and I found creative satisfaction in doing my own thing in the studio, and sometimes working with one other guy or two other people, but not, you know, not turning it into a band, which in my experience was always a nightmare.
You've been through a couple of phases with Bufo, and now you've landed on Outer Sect. How does that capture your overall aesthetic? What is it that you're trying to convey with this alter ego, if you will, that you've created?
I think Outer Sect is actually the closest thing to just me. Bufo was a band with, I had a partner in Bufo, and he's basically embarrassed to have ever made trance music at this point in time. Maybe he'll come around, but that's, you know, where he's at with it right now. And, you know, if you're really curious and you poke around, you can probably find he might have done some remixes of some of my music. So, you know, if you really want to know, there's a hint. When I first came into the electronic music thing, I kind of came out of it thinking, okay, I've played in rock bands, and here's this new music, and I don't really understand the aesthetics of it thoroughly yet. I kind of see what's happening here, but I, you know, and I feel like I can make a contribution, but I'm not sure I really know what's going on with this. So I looked for a partner who had been in that scene for a while and who kind of knew the aesthetics, I thought, of this kind of electronic dance music. And he and I formed this band Bufo to make trance, to make psychedelic trance. So we released a bunch of music as Bufo. It was weird. We never quite put a full CD together. Every time we got two or three tracks together, somebody would release them on a compilation. And so we never quite got to, we have a full CD's worth of unreleased material to put out. But there's a lot of Bufo out there. And there's another band called Bufo out of Finland, which is not the Bufo that I was in and has nothing to do with that Bufo. The odd thing about Bufo, the San Francisco Bufo, is that although we were making trance, almost all of the songs have kind of a breakbeat rhythm to them. It's kind of a 4-4. There's a 4 on the floor kick with a breakbeat top end. So it has that kind of rock and roll rhythm. Anyway, over the course of doing Bufo, I would occasionally feel like, well, I have to just do something on my own, just to do my own thing. So I'd go and make a track by myself. And sometimes we'd release that as a chill out project. And sometimes it would just sit in the shelf and it would just, you know, go on the back burner. Maybe I'd play it live once in a while. Those tracks, a lot of them are on the first Caldera record. First Caldera is largely a collection of tracks I made over a period of years and just never released. And there's a few tracks that were made after I had the intention to create a record as Outer Sect.
Why trance? There seems to be this connection with Eastern and Indian mysticism all wrapped up in that. What is it about the style of music that you're creating and playing that you think really is the best byproduct of your creativity?
Well, first of all, let's be clear about this. Outer Sect is not a trance project. There is no trance music on any Outer Sect CDs yet. can't promise there won't be in the future, but there hasn't been so far. But in the late 90s in San Francisco, the trance scene was absolutely the most psychedelic dance scene there was. And that's really what appealed to me. It also had and has a strong connection to Hindu spirituality. And actually, I lived in India for 4 years when I was a small child. I lived there from about the time I was 5 to about the time I was 9 years old. And there were some very intense things that happened to me in India. There's probably a couple records in there that I'm not going to even think about doing until my parents have passed. Mm-hmm. Because it would be too weird for them. But anyway, I think something in there rubbed off on me. And one thing is that my father, when we were living in India, first of all, you know, he was just an average middle class white guy in the USA. So, you know, when we were living in the USA, we were just like everybody else. When he moved to New Delhi to work at the embassy there, he was still making what you would make as a middle class white guy in the USA. But if you make that much money in India, you're a very rich man. So we lived in a house with 13 servants' quarters. And I was definitely not the same as everybody else when I was living in India. And one of the things that my dad did occasionally is he entertained. And when he entertained, he would bring in musicians. And he also had one of those reel-to-reel tape recorders, and he would tape them. So they had little concerts at my house with the Indian musicians. And a lot of those were captured on tape, and a lot of those I listened to later. And so I have a very early musical reference point from India that probably shows up in my music now, too. And that was before any of the classical training. And also a kind of there's sort of a deep subconscious, probably partially repressed connection to the place. I've never been back, and I'm going to have to go back to India at some point, that's clear, but haven't been back since I was 9 years old. Back to the trance scene in late 90s in San Francisco, you would go into a party and there would be Hindu gods painted in fluorescent colors all over the walls, glowing in black light. It was just the craziest scene ever. And there was also something very magical about the music. I've always found the basic straight 4-beat kind of boring, and I found I always needed to play with it, put something on top of it, do something with it to make it more interesting. But very, very fascinating synthesizer work on a lot of it. And when it's good and you go with it, it really can put you in a trance and take you somewhere else. And if you dance hard to it, it does that. And I found that experience in San Francisco in the late 90s. I found that experience to be very valuable. And I found that the community that was, you know, around it was very valuable also. So that was my first experience with trance music. And I wound up making trance music.
But you're saying that Outer Sect is not a trance project?
No, that was Bufo. Outer Sect itself is not a trance project. If you want to put it in those terms, it's a down-tempo project. I would call it more of an ethno-breaks thing, but that's...
Open for debate, I guess you could say.
Open for debate, yeah. It depends on how you view it.
Okay.
It's definitely all the rhythms in the two Outer Sect releases have been more of breakbeat rhythms and not straight four trance rhythms.
While you are playing a lot of very electronic, synthesized digital music, you put a lot of emphasis on the acoustic and the natural and emulating the organic. Why do you have that sort of bent?
You know, ever since I've been, having been a keyboard player in bands, I always sort of had electric guitar envy. The keyboard is a wonderful composer's instrument. You know, the piano is a lovely instrument, and it puts the whole frequency spectrum at your fingertips, basically. But the price you pay for that is that you cannot put that much expression into a single note. with a piano.
You can't bend the note. You can't hold it, you know, indefinitely.
Yeah, you can't hold it indefinitely. You can't really change the tone color once the note is sounding. I mean, once you've hit it, you're done, basically. You can stop it, but you can't make it morph. Now, with synthesizers, you use some of those things, but I've always been frustrated by the fact that you really can't get some of those natural-sounding morph things that you get with a quote-unquote real instrument out of a synthesizer, piano, organ, any of those things. Now, organs, you know, the B3 organ in particular is a beautiful, expressive instrument, and you certainly can and should change the sound as the note is playing while you're working with the B3, but it doesn't sound the same way as electric guitars or a flute or any of these, you know, or a reed, a Middle Eastern reed. So I decided to, there's been all this research on how you get these sounds by Julius Smith, and I wound up reading a bunch of his papers, which are hard to digest, and looking at all this other research that's around it, articles on it on the internet, and coming up with my own way of doing these things. And I think it sounds pretty good. Some of it, you know, a lot of it, if you hear these sounds by themselves, they don't necessarily sound that convincing, but in context, they can sound very convincing. I think most people listen to something like Kalima off Outer Sect or Aleko, the first and last tracks on the Outer Sect record, and would think that's a live band and not think that that is one person sitting alone at keyboards and working with samplers in a garage. But the fact is, there was no band. It was all me.
The illusion is very convincing then.
Yeah, the illusion is there. When you put it all in context and put it all together, the illusion is there.
You be the judge. Here's Aleko from God Love the Fool.
God Love the Fool came out last month. What is your plan? How are you going to push it out there to the peoples?
Well, you know, been promoting it on the internet as much as we can. And basically, it's kind of an underground effort, but it you know, it's a quality product and it does kind of sell itself. People notice and it's getting some attention. It's holding its own on the... I mean, there's really only one chart that tracks CD sales for this kind of music with any reliability. And even that is only good for CD sales in Europe more than anything else. Hmm. You can't really figure out how it's doing in the States. But it seems to be holding up pretty well. So I'm very pleased. It's doing better than Caldera, that's for sure. Aside from that, I'm going to play. I'm going to go out and play live as much as I can. So that's the best way to push it is for me to do a bunch of shows. So I have some festivals coming up. I'll be playing at a Mystic Garden Party in Chico in July. I'm also going to be playing, I believe, at the Superhero Street Fair in San Francisco in July. I'm also playing at the Beloved Festival in Portland, Oregon. And I'm really looking forward to that one. That's going to be really great. We'll have Chevy Sabah and Ganga Giri and Gaudi. And it's more of a... sort of an ethno tempo, ethno thing. And there's a lot of very good live bands too, playing at Beloved. So that's in August. Coming up very soon, I'll be playing at the Gemini Festival at Area 101 in Laytonville. And that's a good one, but I believe it's already sold out. So if you don't have tickets already, you're probably stuck, but...
There's always ways.
There's ways. You could talk to somebody, you know?
Friend of a friend.
Yeah, it's got to be a friend of a friend. Go poke around the internet a little bit, you know? Go to this guy, Rich Witch Doctor. Rich the Witch Doctor. If you can find him, you can probably get in.
Okay. Well, Rob Rail, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Okay. Well, and I'm great talking to you, too. I hope it was fun for you. It was fun for me.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. I'd like to thank Rob Rail for being on the program. Check out the bonus Outer Sect podcast to hear all about Rob's legendary studio, his jams with Hallucinogen, and how cheap Perry Farrell is. On the podcast next week, my guest is Future Primitive. Rain is a laid-back, down-tempo DJ from the Pacific Northwest. He's got a new EP out now. It's called Luminous. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints, or you'd like to be a guest on the program, contact me at anand@theunce.com. Remember to visit theunce.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. If you want to find out how you can support The Unce in your area, contact Avi at theunce.com. Catch you next week.